When would it be wise to not listen to the African wildlife expert? When he tells you to stand a little closer to the rhinos. That's what happened to a 24-year-old woman from South Africa. She was staying at the Aloe Ridge Hotel and Nature Reserve, about 25 miles from Johannesburg. The reserve advertised that it gives the guests the ideal opportunity to gain view, with rhinos listed among the animals sighted at close range, along with hippos and Cape buffaloes and giraffes. Unfortunately, Chantel Beyer, one of the guests at the reserves, got a little too close. Game park owner Alex Richter had reportedly told a group of visitors it was safe to get out of the safari vehicle to take photos, and he even used food to coax the rhinos closer. A relative of Mrs. Byers told reporters there were quite a few young people on the vehicle, and they probably felt they could trust Richter, who was, after all, the African wildlife expert. As the game park owner was snapping pictures, he advised Chantel to stand just a little bit closer. The photo shows Beyer and her husband only a few feet away from two rhinos. The paper said that just after the photo was snapped, one of the rhinos attacked, and its horn penetrated Mrs. Beyer's chest from behind, resulting in a collapsed lung and broken ribs. So, when would it be wise for you not to listen to the wildlife expert? Whenever he tells you to stand a little closer to the rhinos. Because you see, just because someone's an expert doesn't mean that they actually know what they're talking about, that they have any clue about what's going on. And that, folks, is especially true in the church. See, the Bible is replete with warning after warning after warning of the presence of false teachers in the church. They might sound like they really know what they're talking about. They might have degrees after their name. They might lead large ministries. They might even be considered experts. But none of those are good enough reasons to actually listen to them. The singular reason to heed someone's teaching is when what they teach corresponds to the truth of God's Word. All true Bible teachers have no authority. God's Word alone carries the authority. Today we're going to look at false teachers and understanding our need to beware of them and to recognize them and our need to commit to the truth. So please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue here, nearing the end now of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has this warning for us. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 15. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits." Father, we pray now as we study this scripture, as we look in the Bible about false teachers, you would teach us today. Our hearts, our minds would be open. We would learn. And we'd become vigilant. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that Jesus teaches us is that we need to beware of false prophets. Beware of false teachers. Why? Because he says they're deceivers. They appear like one of us. They appear like one of the sheep. They look like what they're talking about is right. But inwardly, Jesus says, they're ravenous wolves. They've not come to lead or to serve. They've actually come to kill, to destroy. See, in our inclusive world of accepting others' opinions as truth, in our inclusive world where truth is personal rather than objective. In our inclusive world where sincerity is valued above reality, Jesus says, not so fast. Jesus says there are true teachers and there are false teachers. There's right doctrine and there's wrong doctrine. There's truth that accords with reality and there's deceit that accords with error. And we're supposed to beware. We're supposed to watch out for it. We're supposed to be cautiously looking out for false teaching. This has been a serious issue in the church since its inception. People teaching what they think rather than what the Bible says. And our quest to know the truth and to live the truth, and our quest to love the truth and to serve the truth, we must also beware of false teachers. Being wary of false teachers is a major theme in the New Testament. Listen now, I'm just going to read several passages from the New Testament that challenge us, that challenge true followers of Christ to beware of the reality of false teaching. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. But false prophets also rose among the people, just as they will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 1 John 4, 1-3, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world already. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. 1 Timothy 6:20 and 21. Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble and contradictions, which is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. 2 John 1:7 through 11. For many deceivers have gone out of the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver from the Antichrist. Watch yourself so that you may not lose what you have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive them into your house or give them any greeting. Whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise to his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Galatians 1, 8-9. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you contrary to a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said, now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Romans 16:17 and 18. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose conscience are seared. Jude 1:4, for certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6, 3-5, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil, suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means to gain. Matthew 24:24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. 1 Timothy 1:3-4, and I urge you, when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain people not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. And final scripture I have here is Acts 20:29-30. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after themselves. That's just some of the scripture passages warning us, beware, beware of false teachers. The Bible is very clear. False teaching, false teachers are a serious issue in the church. It's something that must be taken very seriously. We must take these biblical injunctions to not just know the truth, but to defend the truth. Defend the truth against error and erosion. The early church was especially very susceptible to false teaching. Think about this. Why would the early church be so vulnerable? What do we have that they didn't have? You probably brought one into church with you this morning. It's probably on your lap right now. We have our own copies of the Bible. Now, some might have had some of the scrolls or the books of the Old Testament, but we have the complete Bible. We have the New Testament in our Bibles. They, of course, did not have the New Testament because they were living out the New Testament in real time. We are so blessed to have the complete, infallible, inerrant, God-breathed Word. Just think how much more of a challenge it would be weeding out the false teachers with no New Testament. That's one of the reasons why when the Gospels were written, they were immediately copied. When the apostolic letters were written, they were quickly copied and they were spread throughout the churches because they understood they needed a measure. They understood they needed a standard. God's Word is our measure. God's Word is our standard. All teaching stands or falls when measured against the absolute truth of God's Word. There are two main categories of doctrinal error. Two main questions to detect a false teacher. The main ones, we've already said, is when God's Word is distorted. When the truth of God's Word is distorted with man's musings and lies. The scriptures above that we just read challenged us of these destructive heresies, philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition. Those who create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. They teach a different doctrine that doesn't agree with sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They teach to itching ears. We're to beware of men speaking twisted things. While distorting the Bible is a main error, that's not the only category of false teachers. Another major category of error is when they diminish God's glory. False teachers turn their glory away from God and onto themselves. They turn the focus away from God and onto themselves. The scriptures above that we read challenge us to evaluate it. False teachers' motives. It says they follow their sensuality and their greed. They disguise themselves. They serve their own appetites. They pervert the gospel of God into sensuality. They have an unhealthy craving for controversy. Their goal is to draw disciples after themselves. You see the fruit of false teachers. The way that we can determine a false teacher is by how they distort God's word and how they diminish God's glory. We can see the fruit of their error when it's measured against the truth of God's word. So I was trying to think of a way of helping us to take these biblical injunctions to beware of false teachers and apply it into our lives in a way that would really help us, to help us evaluate, to give us some categories to recognize the false teachers around us. I came across this article by Tim Challis called Seven False Teachers in the Church. I thought his categories were both biblical and helpful. So let's look at how we can evaluate and recognize seven false teachers in the church today. The first is the heretic. The heretic is perhaps the most dangerous of all false teachers because they straight up deny the truth of the Scriptures. 2 Peter 2:1 clearly says, "But false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them." The heretic is a person who blatantly contradicts an essential truth of the Christian faith. From the very first days of the church, heresy was a real problem. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, he says to them, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." From the very beginning days of the church and into our day, false teachers stand in pulpits and distort the very gospel of Christ, the very heart of the Christian message, the very essence of what it means to be a Christ follower. Sometimes they just outright contradict the truth. "Yeah, Jesus was a great man. He wasn't born of a virgin. He didn't rise from the dead. He's a great example for us to follow. He's a holy man that teaches us how to be one with God. His death was a tragic misunderstanding of his enlightened thinking, not an atonement." Tragically, this Sunday morning, hundreds, even thousands of churches have a pastor that teaches such heresy. Sometimes the heretic, instead of directly contradicting the truth, adds to it. The heretic would affirm so much of orthodox doctrine and then distortingly add things. "Jesus' death isn't enough for your salvation. You have to add to it obedience to the things that I'm telling you. It's not just trusting Jesus. It's not just trusting God. You have to trust me. You have to trust my words." Jude 1:3 says, "Beloved, although I was eager to write to you about our common faith, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." That's our challenge in view of the heretic, is to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. The next false teacher is a charlatan. The charlatan is a person who uses Christianity as a means of personal gain. Like the age-old snake oil salesman, they're peddling Christianity to fill their own wallet. 1 Timothy 6:5 says that some false teachers teach erroneous doctrine, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. 2 Peter 2:3 says that false teachers, in their greed, they exploit you with false words. I saw this video of this discussion between these two televangelists, these two false teachers, and they're talking back and forth about their need for new private jets. One of them said, "I don't want a private jet just to get my flying fixed." He said, "No, I have another plane that I have for that." They not only have million-dollar homes, but tens of millions, multiple dollars homes. They peddle this false prosperity gospel to enrich themselves on the backs of their followers. The charlatan is only interested in how to use Christ for their own selfish gain. Well, next is the prophet. The prophet claims to be gifted by God to speak new, authoritative revelation outside of the Scriptures. Not just adding to the Bible, but adding to their own power and their own position and their own wealth. Today, the airwaves are chock full of people claiming to speak in the name of God, to speak His authority on their words. Revelation 22, 18 and 19 warns us against anyone who claims to bring a revelation equal to the Scriptures. It says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words, from the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. We have a revelation, a clear revelation, and it is called God's Word. The next false teacher is the abuser. This is the most sad of all. The abuser false teacher uses his position of leadership to take advantage of other people. He uses his position of leadership with his undue influence to fulfill his own desires for power and lust. Two scriptures we read earlier describe this false teacher. 2 Peter 2:2 says, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. And Jude 1:4 says, for certain people have crept in, unnoticed, who long ago were designated for condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sensuality. See, in the New Testament day, much of the cult religious practices included sexual deviance. And the Bible could not be any more clear that true Christianity will have none of that. The Bible is warning us that there are those out there who would claim to have God's anointing on their life only to use that to abuse others to feed their own lust and power. Tragically, as we know, the history of Christianity is littered with false teacher abusers. Not only must we call them out and contend against the abuser false teacher, but we must also proactively embrace their heartbroken victims. God our Father, Jesus our brother, will stand for none of that in their family. And neither should we. The next false teacher is the divider. The divider uses false doctrine to disrupt and to create disarray and to destroy the church. The Bible says that God hates the divider. He hates division among His people. Proverbs chapter 6, it says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. God hates it. The divider, false teacher, brings strife, not love, generates factions, not unity, shows discord, not harmony. Romans 16, 17, and 18 so clearly says, I appeal to you, brothers, watch out for those who cause divisions, who create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons don't serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive. The divider, under the guise of doing God's service, is actually not serving God at all, but only serving their own desires. Jude 1, 17 through 21 says, but you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Christ. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers following their own godly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that leads to eternal life. Jude calls divisive people in the church worldly. because they're devoid of the Spirit. Why would he say such a thing? Because one of the marks of a true follower of Christ is to love one another. As he said, building yourselves up, keeping yourselves in the love of God. As Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Another great mark of a true follower of Christ is unity. Jesus himself prayed in John chapter 17 for his church, for us to be one. Jesus prayed this. He said, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's us. He's praying for us. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I give to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world would know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. You see, unity in God's people is the mark of a true follower of Christ. For far too long, churches have given the ground to the divider false teacher, allowing them to sow discord among the brothers. And God hates it. The Bible says divisive people, people with their own agenda, people who must have it their way or the highway, are not serving God, but are serving themselves. You must not let the divider false teacher rear its poisonous head in the church. Next false teacher is the tickler. He gets that from 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For in the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth, wander off into myths. The tickler, false teacher, cares nothing about what God wants and everything about what the people want. They crave popularity and praise from the people over fidelity to God and His Word. The tickler teaches that what people want to hear rather than the truth of God's Word. They say much of happiness and very little about sin. They say much of heaven with no reference to hell. They say lots about prosperity with very little about the trials and tribulations and persecutions of Christ. There's no power in their false gospel of teaching of the power of positive thinking. They're like the false teachers of Jeremiah's day. When the impending disaster of Jerusalem was looming, these false teachers were going around to the people and saying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. The last false teacher is the speculator. The speculator is obsessed with novelty and originality and speculation. The speculator tosses aside the overwhelming truth of the Bible and instead emphasizes the trivial or the unusual or the novel. Often the speculator is obsessed with the end times. Obscure meanings, hidden codes, vague signs are taught as all-important truth. And all the while the weightier, obvious, and most important truths of the Scripture are overlooked and forgotten. The main point of the biblical passage of the end times is not to lay out some kind of timetable with secret meanings. The focus of the end times is to declare to us, Jesus is coming again. It could be today. It's imminent. We don't know the time or date. We are challenged to live today for Christ, like today could be the day of His return. Tim Challies concludes his article with this very startling statement. I quote him, Satan's greatest ambassadors are not pimps, politicians, or power brokers, but pastors. His priests not just peddle a different religion, but a deadly perversion of a true one. His troops should not make a full-out frontal assault, but work as agents sneaking in to the opposing army. Satan's tactics are studied and clever, predictable, effective. Therefore, we must always remain vigilant. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. We must beware. We must recognize false teachers, and we must redouble our commitment to God's absolute truth. We need to commit ourselves to the truth of the Scriptures. Scotland Yard conducted a private exhibition of forged paintings for art dealers. The objective was to send a warning to their select audience about the sale of forgeries, which some experts estimate that make up 40% of the art market. The sale of these fakes can undermine the value of the genuine. The forgeries at the exhibit were created with remarkable proficiency. Reliance on documentation alone can't solve the problem because often the documentation is forged as well. Fiona Ford of the Association of Arts and Antiques Dealers said the level of skill displayed by the forgers was terrifying. She added, if every dealer saw this exhibition, it would further impress upon them how careful they have to be. How careful we have to be. False teachers can often create quite impressively, terrifyingly fake doctrine, disguising their false teachers, looking like they're teaching the truth, while all the while it's worthless. It's valueless. And ends up to be condemning. So let's go back to earlier in our sermon. What's one of the best ways to detect false teaching? It's with this simple two-question test. Is God's Word being distorted? Is God's glory being diminished? As we get ready to sing, so we proclaim together, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray together. So Jesus, we come to you now having studied your sermon, and we come to this passage in your sermon that's so strong and so bold, so challenging. We like to be positive people. We like to think in positive terms. But Lord, you're challenging us. Beware of false prophets. Lord, work within us. Give us wisdom and insight to beware, to know your scriptures, to love them, and then to evaluate the teaching. Not just on TV or radio, but the teachings within our own church. Lord, we submit all of our teachings to your scriptures, that we might teach the truth alone. So Lord, guide and direct us. Give us wisdom in this fallen world we live. We thank you that on Christ, the solid rock, we stand for who he is and his perfect gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.